I hope that you heard what Grace said, because I was listening. And it is amazing to consider that everything that you and I experience, he experiences personally. He takes it personally. That is an awesome truth, that he's not observing our lives dispassionately or from a detached perspective. The scripture fortifies that by saying, in all of their distress, he too was distressed. And it says in Hebrews 4, again, famously, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Everything that you are going through, he is going through with you and experiencing it personally. Thank you, Sister Grace, for sharing that with us. It blessed my soul this morning. This morning's message is titled, His Glory in Your Design. His Glory in Your Design. And we're continuing our month on the blessing of belonging to him, or stewardship, if you will. We're moving through this series of messages that are talking about our unique relationship with the Lord and how he wants to work in us and through us to accomplish his purposes on earth. I want to begin by looking at a quote by one of my favorite writers, C.S. Lewis, who penned these words that I find tremendously refreshing and enjoyable and an exhortation to me as a pastor. He said, really great moral teachers never do introduce new moralities. It's quacks and cranks who do that. As Dr. Johnson said, people need to be reminded more often than they need to be instructed. The real job of every moral teacher is to keep on bringing us back time after time to the old simple principles which we are all so anxious not to see. Like bringing a horse back and back to the fence it has refused to jump, or bringing a child back and back to the bit in its lesson it wants to shirk. There are certain truths that God has laid out in his word to us that are really familiar to us, but they're also often forgotten by us, or at least they're not meditated upon deeply enough, you can put it that way, to insulate us, to insulate our thinking from some of the contrary assessments of the world, which is constant in its barrage of anti-God sentiment and anti-God thoughts about you and about me and about who God is to us. And so it is important for us to fortify our minds with the familiar and to return to the lessons that are so essential to our vibrant faith. Not just our struggling mode, but our vibrant faith. And today we're going to be looking at one of those truths. And besides what Mr. Lewis, but Brother C.S. Lewis wrote there, besides that, I could not go through a series on stewardship, or as I'm calling it, the blessing of belonging. I could not go through this month without examining or revisiting my favorite passages on the subject. I told Laverne this morning, we're going to have a good time this morning. At least I will be. I don't know about y'all. But I want you to turn with me to one of my favorite passages in Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 16 as we explore this subject, His glory in your design. His glory in your design. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If you're taking notes, the main idea that I want to develop this morning is I am a vital component of God's master plan. Simply stated, I am a vital component of God's master plan. You know, the church is described in this passage and others as the body of Christ. And each Christian is a part of it. And as each part does its work, the scripture says the body grows in love. Now, to stimulate this growth, God has given every believer spiritual gifts. He's given spiritual gifts to every member of the body of Christ. There's no such thing as an ungifted Christian. So if you're walking around saying, I don't have any gifts, biblically speaking, that is not accurate. A spiritual gift, this is how I think of what a spiritual gift is. If you want a definition that I think will stand against the scrutiny of the scripture. A spiritual gift is, in essence, the unique way God works through each of us to love others. It's more than the gift of administration or the gift of helps or the gift of service or whatever the list may say. The essence of what a spiritual gift is it's the unique way that God works through each of us to love others. That's how he ends the passage. The body builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So a spiritual gift is the unique way that God works through each of us to love others. And the scripture provides several lists within it of these of spiritual gifts or examples of them. Now, this morning, as I was sitting down contemplating this morning's message, I sat down with my cup of coffee and my pen, and I began what I do pretty much every morning, my daily routine of just spending some time in focused thanksgiving. Again, I call it my cup and pen time. And this is what flowed from my pen this morning. And it literally just flowed from my pen. And I'm sharing it with you for a reason, and I'll tell you in a moment. But I sat down and I wrote, "Thank you, Lord, for brand new opportunities in a freshly opened day. This is the day you have made, and your loving kindness towards me is new. Looking optimistically at the future is not just for the young. It's for everyone in Christ. We say to young people, you know, you've got your whole life ahead of you. But as the events of last week showed us, we really don't know what we or anyone else has ahead of us. What we do know is the Lord has given us the time we have lived up to this moment. All we really know is that we have now. That's all we really know is we have now. But that's not to sound ominous or to make us timid. On the contrary, we can receive each moment with boldness because God has given it to us. Because he's given it to us for his purposes. He's up to eternal things in us and through us in this very moment. So thank you, Lord, for the assets that you're providing me right now in this place. Assets to help me know you and to love the brethren. Thank you for your abiding presence within me, making all the difference. Thank you for my allotted moments of Expo February 18th, 2018. And I surrender them to you. Thank you in advance for the blessings that you've ordained for me and for VBCC today. Thank you for all you're doing in the world today and for making me, little old me, a part of it. I am thrilled and I am humbled. Now, God has tailored those words that I read. They're not scripture. But the truths of those words, God has tailored them to fit you as much as they fit me. Those may be words that I expressed, but those words fit your life just as well as they fit my life. My relationship with God is no more special to him than your relationship with God. God's work in my life is no more significant than his work in your life. God's purpose for my life is no more strategic than his purpose for your life. What God is doing in your moments is no less dynamic than what he's doing in my moments. God is up to eternal things in you and through you. He's providing you assets to better know him through your daily life. Everything that's going on in your life, everything that's coming and everything that's going is an asset that he is providing to enrich your knowledge of him and your effect and purposes for him on this earth. His abiding presence is in you, making all the difference in the world. And you're a part of his eternal purposes. Now, how do we get to this vital mindset? How do we get to what you just heard and get it to go beyond the level of mere rhetoric or poetry or a great sermon? How do we get it from here to here? How do we get it from here to there? How do we imbue it? How do we embody it? How does it become a part not only of just our agreement, but where it is actually expressed and showing up in our lives in a way that others can experience and wonder about? Because that's really what we want, is for the glory of the Lord to shine through us. So I've got three suggestions. And the first one is this. Embrace the God-ordained uniqueness of your place in Christ. Embrace the God-ordained uniqueness of your place in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, you can write this verse under that point. 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God has chosen each odd one of us to be part of his body. And if he's satisfied with the arrangement, who are we to criticize or go messing with it? And this is why I often say about us, I say that love demands that we respect and grow to appreciate each other's place, pace, and process in the Lord as well as our own. You know, when Moses was first called by the Lord, he approached the burning bush, as you are familiar with the story. And as he drew near, the Lord said, take off your sandals, because the place where you're standing is holy ground. What made the place where he was standing holy ground was not the bush, and it wasn't the sand. The place where he was standing was holy ground because the presence of the Lord was there. And so our paradigm and our view of one another can be greatly enhanced when we recognize that within each one of the Lord's people, the presence of the Lord exists. And so when I approach Laverne, when I approach Flamina, when I approach John, I am literally approaching holy ground, because the presence of the Lord is within each one of us. Unbeknownst to many of us, we are actually far more interesting than the person we want others to think we are. We work very hard to create an impression. But the truth of the matter is, who we really are beneath that impression is far more interesting than we realize. I mean, I recall a relatively new participant in our Bible study saying of himself, as we were getting to know one another and as we were discussing, he said, I'm a strange sort of person. And I remember immediately saying to him, welcome home, we're your family. This is exactly where you belong. We're all strange sort of people. And humanly speaking, when you think about it, each one of us is a bundle of complexity, a bundle of concerns, contradictions, and chaos underneath this veneer of social conformity. That's really who we are, truth be told. And God saw the truth about who we were, and he still chose us to be a part of his body. And it makes you kind of wonder, what was he thinking? Well, he knows what he was thinking. I want you. Embrace the uniqueness. You know, I've told you guys before that I went through a crisis of faith, I guess you could say, a crisis of faith and a crisis of place a number of years back. And I was trying to decide whether or not I wanted to continue as a pastor or what I wanted to do. And I went and saw a therapist and had a number of sessions with him. And I say to you, I recommend God, the Holy Spirit, and a good therapist. When you are in a spot where you're trying to figure it out, I say a good therapist, because a bad therapist can jack you up. But I remember trying to sort out where I was in my faith and where I was going in my journey. And I remember sitting down with this therapist, and he was really good. He said, you know, as he listened to me tell my story and as he listened to my journey, he said these words to me, and I'll never forget them. He said, you don't have to be a pastor. He said, you would be big no matter what you did. No matter what you did, you would be big. And I really latched on to that. And I began to think about that, and I realized that wherever he was coming from with that. That is supported by the scripture, not because I'm something, but because of the one who lives in me. And I am not confined to any one station or imprisoned to any one slot, or God has much bigger plans for me than whatever my particular situation is at the moment. And I don't know what he has for me down the road. My life doesn't end when my situation ends. You see? And I really very much appreciated that. Now, I believe the reason he could say that was because he saw himself as big. Now, I think he had a touch of megalomania, to tell you the truth. I really do, as I think about it. I think he had a real ego issue, but that's okay. God uses them too, because he said, you know who I am? No. He said, I am God's great light. I am like a lighthouse standing on the shore and bringing all the ships in from the fog. Really? Okay, maybe, maybe not, but I appreciated what he offered me. And God uses all of us, works through us, regardless of our warts. But what God's plan is to create unity through our uniqueness, not competition. Some of you have seen that old, I guess it's not too long ago, the movie Masters of the Universe. And there's this little raccoon called Rocket Raccoon. Yes. And one of the lines in that movie, for you young people, you probably heard it. He says, ain't no thing like me except me. Ain't no thing like me except me. And that is true for each one of us. And that is why there's no competition. Ain't no thing like you except you. And God's plan from the beginning has been to create unity through uniqueness. So there's no grounds for comparison. So if we want to inculcate, if we really want to enter into this whole thing of understanding our bigness and understanding God's purpose for us and his glory and our design, we need to embrace the uniqueness. Each part means you. As each part does its work, not all the parts, as each part means you. When we're happy about the way we work, our unique design, we become secure enough to be able to genuinely appreciate another person's uniqueness. If we're not secure in our own specialness, it becomes much more difficult to allow others their greatness. And so when the scripture tells us to consider what God is doing in us and to thank him for what he's doing in us, it's not about building our ego, it's about releasing our love. Because to the degree that I am secure enough in God's fantastic work in me, I can celebrate and appreciate his fantastic work in you. Secondly, you have a job in Christ. Determined to do your job well. You have a job in Christ. Determined to do your job well. Peter's instruction in 1 Peter 4:10 shines even more light on the significance of each part. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. In God's kingdom, there is zero unemployment rate. We all have a job. Our spiritual gifts or our spiritual effect, it includes our spiritual gifts, as I said a moment ago. But it's not limited to our gifts. It's the combination of our gifts, our life experiences, our personalities, our interests. All of those things create the package of giftedness that God has given us and given the world through us. Maybe our sense of humor. Might be our smile. It might be our hospitality. It might be other skills or gifts or experiences that we share with one another. But these additional attributes may not be listed in the scripture, but God wants to use them just the same in each of our lives and in the lives of others. Because all that we are belongs to Him, not just our gifts. All that we are belongs to Him. And then the third thing is this. Remember, the purpose of being a part of Christ's body is to build as well as to be built up. Remember, the purpose of being a part of Christ's body is to build as well as to be built up. The verse reference that I'd like for you to write under this point is 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, which reads, "Now to each one," there it is again, each one, "the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And it goes on to say, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one of us just as He determines. Every year at our annual Leaders Summit, one of the things I enjoy most is what I call our affirmation circle. And all of our leaders take turns sitting in the hot seat and allowing the rest of the group for 3 solid minutes to tell him or her exactly how their ministry or their gifts, what God has been doing in them throughout the year, how that has directly impacted us personally or people that we know of. And they just have to sit there while rapid fire from all directions, people are sharing how the Lord has blessed them and others through what they have experienced throughout the year. And if you in any way try to minimize it or deflect it, you get a citation. And next year, I'm planning on adding another minute. Or you have to just sit there for another minute. And that's not a cream puff exercise. That's not a touchy-feely kind of thing that we do just to be nice to one another. It's a critical component of faith building. It is a critical component of faith building, of giving real life examples of this vital biblical truth that I am a vital part of God's plan, of His master plan. It is important for our leaders to understand that. The trickle-down effect upon the rest of the body is essential. And it is important for every member of our body to grasp that. Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nair. That is a real name. It's Michigan State's point guard. His first name is Lou Rawls. One word. Lou Rawls. And his mom called him from birth Tum Tum. So he's Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nairn. And one of the things that he said that I, you see, these wonderful spiritual truths come through as I'm watching the basketball game. You don't understand. Y'all think I'm just sitting down having a good time eating my popcorn and drinking my soda, but I'm being fed from on high. Particularly when they're winning, like yesterday when they won after being down by 27 points and created the biggest comeback in Big Ten history. But that's beside the point. What Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nairn said is, though, he said, anybody in life that has a gift has trouble seeing it. And that's why you have to have people try to help you out. You see, most of us, I mean, we walk around and we don't realize. We don't realize how powerful, how potent, how important. I don't know how to convey it. I don't know how to say it. Because no matter what words I use, I am convinced that some are sitting there with flatlining, not really understanding the implications of this truth, that I am a vital part of God's master plan. I sat down with our dear brothers and sister Avon and Lynn and Jordan. I didn't see Jordan. Yesterday, and I'm happy to say they're going to become members of our church. In fact, we sat down and talked about that. And that was one of the things that we spent some time talking about. How important it is to recognize that God has placed you in the body to create an impact. I told him my famous example of the R and the N that we all walk around with on our chest as believers. Every one of us has an R and an N. And the R says resources. I have resources from on high to give. We enjoyed some of those resources in Sunday school this morning, sharing with one another our experiences of the Lord. I have resources to give, vital resources that the body needs. As it says, each one has received a special gift. And Peter exhorts us to use it in serving one another as he puts it, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has placed within Dina a particular package or packages of grace. And it is Dina's job to distribute that grace, the grace of God, in her unique way. So we're not just talking about, we got work to do around here in this church, find a job. Do you hear what I'm saying? We are not saying just get busy and get off of your behind for Jesus. No, that is not what we're saying is God has placed something in you, a resource that we need. I need it. I'm up here teaching, but I need those resources that God has placed in you. So we all have the R. And we also have the N. The N says, I am needy. That I need you. I have resources to give, but I also have needs to be met. And God has placed you here to help to meet those needs. And Terry, you're the only one who can meet the need that God has placed here that he designed you to meet. I don't know if you guys are hearing me on this. All of us have resources to give and we have need of one another. Now, maturity is being able to hold both out equally with confidence. That's maturity. Now, some of us have got the resource thing together. I know I got resources to offer this church. Don't you see them? Of course I've got resources. God placed me here to make this church something else. I'm going to take it to another level. If you only knew what I can do. If you only knew who God has made me to be. Now there's nothing wrong with that. There's something wrong with that only when we can't hold out the other hand and say, I need. You don't know how much I need. Don't be fooled by this. Because I got a whole lot of this. I got a whole lot of this. And I can say that looking you straight in the eyes and saying, brother, I need you. I need you. And if we can do both of those, imagine how dynamic and powerful we'd be as individuals and as a church. And this is what the body is designed to do. Build itself up in love as each part does its work. Each part can't do its work if there's no need. Right? We need both of those for each part to do its work. We need the parts to know, I've got something to give. We need each part to know that. Or else we can't do it. And we also need each part to say, I need. So that the other parts can do their work. That's how it works. Brilliant! Brilliant! What a glorious truth. I am going to finish with what we read in Sunday school. Just to sort of tie it up. God has given us all special gifts and resources. And these are to be shared with one another to provide additional light on the path of our spiritual journey. At times, we may be plagued by feelings of inferiority that suggest we have nothing to offer. Or we may be deceived into thinking our vision is so sharp, we have no need of anybody else. Both attitudes are flawed and may lead to isolation. The Bible states as a matter of fact that we are members of one another. It's not accurate to say, all I need is Jesus, when the meaning is, I do not need other members of his body. It's inaccurate to say, all I need is Jesus, when the meaning is, I don't need any other members of his body. There may be times when all we have is Jesus. But that's not how he designed us to function under normal circumstances. Following him means being connected to others. And each of us must learn to value our neediness as well as our capacity to meet the needs of others. That's what his glory in our design means. May God give us grace to embrace the truth that we are vital parts of his master plan. I'm done.